Shashir, November 15th, Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter. Okay, thank you. Thank you everybody for coming. This is the second one of this year. I call it season two of the Parsha Shirim on Thursday night. Next week is Rabbi Adler. I'd like to thank Rabbi Schachter for always making himself available when I ask, and a lot of things that he does with the shul. And without any further ado, Rabbi Schachter. There's a few pieces of paper going around. Anyone who wants to sign up and doesn't get emails from me, so you can be on the list.
Are there any extra sheets going around? Anybody else? Anybody not have a copy? Johnny, you have a copy? I have extra. Will. Bershus Rabbi Adler, and Bershus, all of you have come this evening. I want to thank Howie on behalf of all of us for putting together this Thursday night Parsha Shir. And originally it was supposed to be a Parsha Shir, so I'm going to say the word Noach. And then after I say the word Noach, and Noach faced very significant challenges, and we're also facing very significant challenges. So I decided to reflect a little bit about what all of us are feeling and what I'm feeling. And it's the old story about the Magid who got up and said, I'm really talking to myself, but I'll talk a little bit loud so you could hear what I'm saying, but I'm really talking to myself. You're welcome to hear what I'm talking to myself. So this is a conversation that I'm having with myself because I've been, like I'm sure so many of you, and that's why you're here tonight, totally wrecked. Wrecked and obsessed and frightened and deeply concerned about what's happening in Medinat Yisrael. And it's hard for me to find a place for myself, try to go through my daily responsibilities, but it weighs very heavily, and I find myself checking the news every couple of minutes, and it's a very difficult situation, and don't know what the end is going to be. Nobody knows what the end is going to be. The mayor of Jerusalem today was on a conference call, some of you may have heard, and things are going to hopefully be under control, but nobody knows. So what I want to do is share with you two struggles that I have and four ideas that I'm trying to grasp onto to try to help me during this difficult time. And hopefully it will be helpful for you. I think this is the most challenging presentation that I remember giving. It's not like I have a topic and I prepare for the topic. I have a sermon, I prepare the sermon. A shiur, a lecture here, it's just grasping at ideas, and hopefully something will be meaningful for me and then hopefully for you. So the first feeling is vulnerability and fear and feeling like we're not in control. We spend so much time and so much energy trying to be in control of our lives, and we're not in control. And the people who are walking on the street, and they're trying to go from here to there, and they don't know what's going to be, and they're buying backpacks and they're stuffing them with books so that they shouldn't get knifed in the back. Today the Malcha Mall was absolutely empty. People are afraid to go on the street. People are taking taxis and they're not taking buses. Schools are arranging private buses to take the kids. Nobody wants to go. It reminds me of what we said on Kol Nidrei Night on the right side of the first page in a very graphic way. It just is a living illustration of Kihine Kachomer Biyad HaYotzer, Kihine Koeven Biyad HaMesates. Now, we think we're in control, but we're not in control. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in control. We're like the clay in the hands of the potter. If he wants to expand it, he expands it. Contract it, he contracts it. We're like the stone in the hands of the cutter. If he wants to keep it whole, if he wants to hold on to it, if he wants to smash it, etc., etc., etc. It's a graphic portrayal that we just said a couple of weeks ago of the feeling that we're feeling now, that I'm feeling now, and that is I'm just overwhelmed and recognize that God runs the world and we don't run the world. The second thing that I'm dealing with, and I was struggling with myself whether to raise it, but I'm going to raise it because I raise it with myself, is I'm having a serious religious crisis. I'm having a serious religious crisis that pops up all the time when this happens. And it wasn't that long ago, 2001, 2002, 2003, when the buses were blowing up. It wasn't that long ago when a family of five were slaughtered in a beautiful yeshuv. It wasn't that long ago when the eight sweet boys were mowed down in Merkaz Harav. It wasn't that long ago when four Vayli Yidden were chopped up davening in Har Nof. So I just don't get it. I don't understand it, and I struggle with it. I try to be an Erlich Yid, but I'm in big trouble because I don't understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says on the left side, Amar Rav Chosbedoy, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah, Echad Shel Rishayim Gemara, where it's underlined on the bottom left of the first page on the left side. So we all know about the books. We all know about the books. Books play a very prominent role on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We keep on asking the Rabbanu Shel Olam to put us in the good book, Chasveinu B'Sefer HaChaim, Chasmeinu B'Sefer HaChaim. The books are open, and we are being judged. And there are different books. There are three books. Echad Shel Rishayim Gemurim, Echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, Echad Shel Beinonim. So Tzadikim Gemurim, Nechtavim V'Nechtamim La'alter L'chaim. So B'Fer Shel Gemara, all the good people get written down. They're good to go. They're immediately inscribed, written and inscribed for Chaim. Rishayim Gemurim, immediately inscribed for the opposite of Chaim. And Beinonim, Tluyim Va'omdim, Rosh Hashanah Vad Yom Kippur. So the middle category of Beinonim. However we define, and it's a whole debate, what is Rishayim Gemurim, and what are Tzadikim Gemurim, and what are Beinonim. But the good people get good, and the bad people get bad. And the middle people hang in abeyance until Yom Kippur, and hopefully they land in the good book. So I'm not understanding this. I don't doesn't compute for me. It never computes for me, but I'm just sharing with you what I'm thinking about, and that is I don't understand this. But Baruch Hashem, I'm not the first one who didn't understand it. I bring you the Ramban in the Drasha to Rosh Hashanah, the top of the second page, the Ramban. So the Ramban, we know all about the Ramban. 13th century Spain, very fine, wise Jew who wrote all kinds of commentaries, a parish on the Torah and a parish on a number of different Mesechtas, Chedushei or Ramban. And then he has a number of drushes that he gave. And he gives a drusha for Rosh Hashanah. It's hard for me to imagine this drusha for Rosh Hashanah because it's about 40 pages. Probably would have taken him like 19 hours to deliver this drusha. It's hard to imagine he delivered this drusha in one sitting. I don't know exactly how that plays itself out. Maybe it's a conglomerate of a number of different drushas. But in Mitten Derinnen of the drusha of Rosh Hashanah, he quotes this Gemara. And he asks on the Gemara, says the Ramban, Eichet Given Avay Leyid, and he says, quotes the Gemara about Eich Pasak Rabbi Yochanan Psak Din HaGadol. How could he have paskin such a Amuk and such a deep and major psak, Hazeh, Shakol Raze Olam, Tuluyim Bo, all the secrets of the world, everything revolves around this, that Tzadikim Gemurim Nechtavim V'Nechtamim La'atu L'Chaim V'Chi Kola Tzadikim Chaim V'Chola Rishayim Mesim? I mean, is that true? Is that the way it is? Is that the way the world operates? V'Aksuvim Tzavchu Kenegdo, and there are all kinds of psukim who scream against this, and he quotes psukim that Why is it that Tzadik Veralo, and why is it that Rasha Vetovlo, V'chol HaNaviyim Einan Tameyem Elo Alzeh? He's got a lot of problems with this Maimir Chazal, and he bases his question or his challenge on biblical verses. And then he says something that always struck me as quite bold and provocative. The end, the next to the last line, says the Ramban, V'chi lo ro'o zeh ha-chocham sefer Iyov me'olam? But this wise man, he never read the book of Job? You know, it's kind of like a shtickle. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say it this way, but the Ramban is the Ramban. Zeh ha-chocham, all of a sudden, this chacham never read the book of Job. What kind of talk is this? So the Ramban is struggling to understand this equation that is computed here in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, also a major Sephardi leading intellectual who has a parish on the Torah known as Akedas Yitzchak, right below, in Parshas Emor, also quotes the Gemara, and he goes after Rabbi Chusk B'doyam, Rabbi Yochanan, from a different perspective. He quotes the Gemara, and then he says that everything Mashehikshu Hakodmin, second line, that's all I want to read, Bezeh HaMaimer, Mima Sheyed HaChush Al HaHefach Mima Sheyigazru Hubo. You don't need Psukim, you don't need Mamari Chazal, you don't need a biblical text, you don't need the book of Job. Open up your eyeballs. Just open up your eyes. Experience tells us opposite of what is asserted in this passage. So, I'm in good company, and anybody else who feels the way I am, I think are in good company. So the two major issues that I'm just overwhelmed of trying to grapple with, first of all, is the human sense of vulnerability, the sense of you want to think like you have a say, and you want to think like there's something you can do, and so gunish mit gunish, there's nothing you could do. And second of all, I don't understand why sweet, wonderful Jews get slaughtered in the middle of the street. I don't understand this at all. And I'm in good company because neither did the Ramban or Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, or if I had the time, 48 other people who also try to struggle with this. So, what do I tell myself? And I feel stronger about the first two points than I feel about the rest of this talk, but I'm trying to work it through, and maybe we'll all try to crawl out. First is Medrash in the bottom right of page 2. There are 4 points that I want to make. I want to make 4 points. Point number one is the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra. Very famous Medrash. Medrash says that we are one people. That the Jewish people are one people. Why are we? We're sitting in Teaneck, New Jersey, and Segeitu and Zan, like we're just wrecked from something that's happening 6,000 miles away. So we have, Baruch Hashem, siblings who are there, and we have parents, or we have grandparents, or we have children, and we have grandchildren, and we have cousins, and we're one family. But even if it's not one family, those who have been killed or injured are not necessarily members of our family. I'm not related to the Hankins. I'm not related to them. But I'm a wreck. I'm mamish. I'm just totally overwhelmed. And it's because we're one people. And the Medrash says, the famous Medrash, that if you burn a pinky, the whole body hurts. And that's the way the Jewish people are. Nimshalu Yisrael laseh, maseh hazeh, loke al rosho, o be'echad me'avarov, v'chol evarov margishim, kachen Yisrael, echad mehen, the context here is chote v'chulon margishim, but it doesn't have to be echad mehen chote, echad mehen chole, echad mehen is in pain, v'chulon margishim. You touch the pinky, everything hurts. Because we are one people. And the fact that we're one people is astounding. That Segeitu and Zan, it matters to us. And we're totally overwhelmed by something that happens to a stranger, because we're one people and we need to feel that, and I think draw strength from that. The first core strength for me is Mikamcha Yisrael, that we're saying Tehillim and people are saying Tehillim all over the world because it matters. And we can only draw strength from the fact that we're not just disparate, and we're not just separate, we're not just alone, but there is strength in the collective consciousness or the collective reality of Jewish people. Says the Sefer Chassidim on the bottom left, the very famous rabbinic principle that appears more than once in Gemara, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. We are responsible for one another. We're connected to one another. Technically, we're co-signers. It's a legal, juridical concept that if I want to borrow money and I don't have money to put up as a mashkon, so my friend co-signs for me. So if the bank comes after me and I don't have money, they'll go after my friend. That because we take care of each other. So it's, to me, that's a little bit helpful. That we care about each other. And if we care about each other, it makes a difference. Point number two is the rest of the Sefer Chassidim. So what's the implication of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh? I've been speaking to my students at YU a lot, and they tell me they want to do something. And maybe that's something that you feel like. It's something I feel like. What am I going to do? I'm sitting here in Yehupitz. I'm sitting here far away. And even all of my close relatives who were living in Israel, and I talked to them about, what are you going to do? So you buy a backpack. You look around before you go up. What are you going to do? What could you do? You feel like you want to do something. And that goes back to the first point. You feel like you want to have like a shtickle control. You feel like you want to like proactively somehow act something, do something. So the Sefer Chassidim Firtois, that because Mepnei Sheyisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh, V'kach Kishetzar Bo Al Echad, Chayavim Kulam Lehitzdaru Lehisbal. So we understand, what do we do? So after Ma'ariv tonight, we're going to say Tehillim. Every morning after davening, we've been saying Tehillim. And don't underestimate the power of Tehillim. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Like my God needs me to say Tehillim. And if I don't say Tehillim, so it's bad news. And if I say, who am I? What God, I'm going to, or even the tzibur. No, the answer is it has some kind of a salutary kayach. I don't understand it. But that's Ruach Yisrael Saba. That's what Jews do. We say Tehillim, we mispalel, and we believe when we make a Mishaberach. We believe that when we sincerely ask the Rabbono Shel Olam, hopefully God will respond, but there are, of course, no guarantees. And that is the Gemara in Tainus. Look at the top of page 3. So there's an amazing Gemara in Tainus on Daf Yud Aleph. It's 7 lines from the bottom. The line beginning Hatzadik. The line beginning Hatzadik, the little asterisk. Ale Yitzayir Adam Im HaTzibur. That we should feel, we should not just empathize, but we should actually feel the pain in a more direct, concrete way. And the Gemara brings an amazing raya. Shekeimo tzina b'Moshe Rabbeinu, shetzir atzmo ematzibur. No, milano gadol mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses did that. He expressed and acted in a way that acknowledged his participation in the pain of the community. Shenema v'yidei Moshe kevedim, and they're fighting against Amalek. So his hands are hurting. His hands are heavy. So what does he do? Torah says, "Vayikhu even." They took a rock, "Vayasimu tachtov," and they put it under him. "Vayeshev ele." He sat on the rock. In fact, the Gemara an amazing question. "V'chilo hayo lo Moshe kar achas o keses achas?" Well, he didn't have a couch. Well, he didn't have a pillow. Where's the mosaic pillow? Moses must have walked around. Achashev gaya has a pillow. He's got a couch. What's he sitting on a rock for? He's sitting on a stone. So it's hard to sit on a stone. The mosaic couch. Why does he have to sit on a rock? As I fricked the Gemara. Why, he didn't have a shtickle, a throw pillow he could have put down there to make it more comfortable? Ella kach amar Moshe. Hoel v'Yisrael shurim b'tzar. Ach ani e'imayim b'tzar. It's an amazing thing. What difference is it going to make? But Amalek will be vanquished quicker if he's sitting on a rock instead of on a pillow. But the answer is, it's for him. He needs to feel the shituf in the Tzara de Tzibur. And halavai, 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 the Gemara Fiertois v'chol ha-metzayar atzmo im ha-tzibur, halavai, halavai, zoche v'ra ben ha-chamas tzib. So I was talking to somebody in Israel, and he told me that he has a friend that the last summer, in the whole parsha of what we still call the three boys, in the whole parsha of the three boys, he was an inveterate gum chewer. And he decided he's going to stop chewing gum. He chewed like a pack and a half. I don't know what that means exactly, how many sticks there are in a pack. He chewed a lot of gum, and he decided he's stopping to chew gum. So I'm thinking myself, and I'm stopping things. Now, what difference is it going to make? But I feel like I want to be mishtatef in the tzar of the tzibur. So this is not like a cookie cutter thing. You know, here's a piece of paper, choose one of the following six, and everybody knows individually things. You take on something. And I feel like I'm involved. I'm trying to do something. It's not going to help the situation. Maybe it will help the situation. I mean, you know, if I stop chewing gum, so. But at least I feel that I'm now engaged in a meaningful way. I am now denying something to myself in solidarity with those who are afraid to walk in the street. So this may be helpful to you, it may not be helpful to you. It's a shtickel helpful to me. I'm working on it, I'm trying to build up to it, that it should really be helpful. Meanwhile, it's a shtickel helpful to me. I feel like I'm a part of this. It's part of the first point. That's why the Sefer HaChassidim says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. And part of the implications of Arvus is to limit yourself, is to be mitzayer im hatzibur. So how that works, I don't know exactly how that works, but I feel myself very personal, and nobody knows what, if I'm chewing gum, I'm not chewing gum, or the equivalent of chewing, nobody else, this is not a public, you don't walk around, you're not, I stop chewing gum, you know, till the situation gets better in Israel. Whatever it is, you feel like you're doing something that identifies you or connects you to the situation. Well, why should my life be business as usual? How could my life be business as usual? Can't be business. So something has to change. Something has to be, it shouldn't be business as usual. So find something that's not business as usual until the Mitzvah Hashem. Like the Gemara says, we should be zeicha v'raya ben achamas tzibur. But until that point, however you want to express in your own personal life, not business as usual, something to think about. Point number three. And the next two points are points that I must have shared over the years in whatever context, I don't remember. So if you heard it from me, I'm going to ask you mechila, but this is what I'm thinking now, and it's very meaningful to me. Third point is, the entire existence of the Jewish people defies logic. We think that it's not logical. Like, why is God doing this? Doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. You know, I thought that there's like logic in the world, that good people have good things, and what the world doesn't understand, and Kerry has to say it's because of the settlements, and the New York Times has to say six Palestinians killed and doesn't recognize what's going on. I mean, there's like lunacy. It's mamish lunacy. And so how could that be? You know, like, I mean, I thought like people are normal. I thought people are like logical or rational. You could talk to them. But our whole existence defies logic and defies rationality. The Mishnah says, the Medrash says at the beginning of Bereshis, the bottom of page 3, Amar Rav Sima, B'shah Sheba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Livrel Sasadam HaRishon Nasu Malachi Asher Eskitim Kitim V'Chaburus Chaburus. It's an amazing Medrash. God decided He wants to create the world. What does God do? He doesn't create the world. He calls a meeting. You want to do something? The big word, anybody who's involved in a shul, process. You can't just decide. You have to have a meeting. So God couldn't just create the world. You think God, big G, right? God is God, right? God to do whatever God wants. No. God, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting of the angels. We're going to have an angel meeting. So He calls together all the angels and all of the values that the angels represent. B'sha'ah sheba HaKadosh Baruch Hu livros es Adam HaRishon, who lo bara es Adam HaRishon, who called the meeting. And Nasu Malachi, sure enough, what happened at the meeting? It's a tie. Abrach, it's a tie. Nasu Malachi, sure as kitim chaburos. Mehem amir mal yibare, u'mehem amir yibare. These say, what? God, give me a break, you're not going to create me. Man, and the other side says, create man. Ado dechsev chesed ve'emes nifgoshu tzedek v'sholom nashaku. What's pshat? Chesed omer yibare shehu gomel chasodim. You know, God, go ahead, right on, go ahead, create the world, because people are basically decent people. Emes omer al yibare shekulo shkarim. Emes says, right, you got to be kidding. They're a bunch of liars. Can't trust them. Can't create the world. Tzedek Omer Yibare Shehu Oshet Stuck Oset Stuckos. They're nice. They're basic. They're decent. Sholom Omer Al Yibare the Chuluk Tata. They're killing each other. Oh my God! It's two against two. What does God do? God could say a fife on you and a fife on you. I'm going to go create the world. No, that's not what He does. Says the amazing Medrash. Ma'asa Hakadosh Baruch Hu Notol Emes. So the simple way to solve the problem: you take one of the naysayers, you pick him up, you dump him away. Oh, no problem. Two against one. You got rid of one who didn't want. Two against. Okay. Majority rule. We're going to create the world. Azayzot the Medrash. It's an incredible Medrash. It's just an amazing Medrash. So I heard from my father, Zichrono Levracha, the following comment on this Medrash. First of all, the whole Medrash doesn't make any sense. Second of all, how do you get rid of MS? You take MS. What is MS? MS is true. True is true, right? True is true. That's what it is. It's true. So what do? You get rid of truth. How do you get rid of truth? It's true. What do you mean? I don't see it anymore. It's on the ground. It's gone. I don't see it. But it's true. Second of all, Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. Chazal tell us that the very signet, the core, the stempel of the Ribbono shel Olam is emes. That's his identity. How does he get rid of his identity? So my father told me the pshat is as follows. He said that the Medrash is teaching us something very important. Emes is important. But if the implication of emes is going to be al yibarei, if MS will result in, therefore, do not create, such an MS has to be rejected. We cannot live even with a truth if the result of that truth is paralysis. If MS is going to say, Al Yibare, we take the MS and we dump MS in the garbage can. MS, we dump in the garbage can. When the State of Israel was founded in 1948, MS said, what are you, crazy? Are you out of your mind? 1948, malaria, scurvy, no food, surrounded by 100 million Arabs who are going to kill you. In 4 seconds, they're going to overrun you. What are you doing on a Friday afternoon on HaER to announce Kom HaMedina? It is lunacy. MS said, don't create the state. And it was MS. But MS that results in Al Yibare, we totally disregard the MS and we do what we have to do. When our parents and Bubbies and Zadies came to the United States, it was a midbar in the United States. It was a midbar. The United States had no yeshivas. You know, the first Shas was printed in America at the end of the 19th century. The first Shas printed in America was at the end of the 19th century. Until then, they were like, you know, they schlepped it in the suitcase. There was nothing going on here. And even into the middle of the 20th century. So our Bubbies and Zadies and their friends come to communities and they start a shul. They start a day school. A day school? It's anti-American. A day school? This is the melting pot. In the 40s and the 50s, to start a day school, Rabbi Soloveitchik in the 30s, to start a day school is anti-American. You have to go from house to house and beg parents to let the little Shlomila and Sarala slaughter themselves because they're going to leave the mainstream of American culture. And it was true. But MS results in Al Yibare. We reject the MS. So we have constantly operated with the notion that we're not governed by objective truth. That there's something else that drives the engine of Jewish life. And that is a firm belief that what we have is correct and what we have is important and we're going to go ahead no matter what. And that is, for me, a shtickle source of strength. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. Today, you look at the state of Israel. It's crazy. From this side and from this side, Hamas is in this week's parsha. I said again, this week's parsha. It's Vumigitzachadre with you, Iran and the North and the Hezbollah and Hamas and the West Bank and the Palestinians. How do you breathe? How do you breathe? What's going to be? It just defies any logic. Why isn't more of this going on? It doesn't make any sense. But it doesn't make sense. Because it just doesn't make sense. Because we don't operate with sense. Even truth. It's hard to imagine that you reject the truth. Because, you know, ever since I'm a little boy, you know, it's true. It's true. Abraham Lincoln with the truth. It's so true. No. There's something more powerful than truth. And that is the values that we represent. And even though it doesn't make any sense, and it defies logic. An MS that results in Al Yibare is Hishlich Arza. We get rid of the MS. We don't operate in the same realm of behavior, of thought, of process, as does the rest of the world. Which brings me to my last point. So the first point that I try to make is we draw strength from being one people. The second point I try to make is be mishtatef in the tzar of the tzibur. Shape something in our personal lives that demonstrates only to us internally that it's not business as usual. We feel then that we're giving up something. And then the third thing is to recognize that Jewish existence is not a logical enterprise. Never was a logical enterprise. The whole world wouldn't have happened if there would have been a logical enterprise. My fourth point is that we are witnessing now, what we're witnessing now, Nebuch, with all of this huge challenge, is the previously determined trajectory of the unfolding of the Jewish historical experience. I'll say that again and then I'll explain what I mean. What we're seeing now, what we're witnessing now, right now, is a trajectory that has already been previously determined for the unfolding of the Jewish historical experience. Which brings me to page 4, to the beginning of Sefer Shmos. And this I know that some of you have heard from me before. Do you be meichel me? I heard it from myself before too, but it means something to me. So I'm going to say it again. So Moses is living a bucolic existence in the garden of his father-in-law. And he's tending the sheep. It's a machaya. I mean, stell sich vor, I didn't have to go to work. I didn't have to fight over the George Washington Bridge. You know, meleft zechub, you get up in the morning and you smell the roses and you walk around and you commune with nature. You take care of the sheepaluch and then you go home at night and you rest. And for decades. Yeah, so it's very nice. One day, there's this apparition, there's a bush, and it's burning, and it's not burning, and it's consuming, and it's not consuming, and he comes closer. And Hashem comes to him with a message. Vayomer Hashem, Pasuk Zayin, Ra'o Ra'isi Asani Ami Asher B'Mitzrayim, Ve'Tzarkosam Shemati Mipnei Noksov, Ki Yodati Asmachovach. Moses, listen. It occurred to me that it's enough already. It's enough. The Jews are suffering enough in Egypt. And I'm going to go down for Ered v'Hatzilo Miyad Mitzrayim and Pasikud v'Atol Lecha v'Eshlochecha al Paro. You're my man. I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to take the Jews out of Egypt. No sooner does the Ribbono Shel Olam come to Moshe Rabbeinu and tell him this, Moshe Rabbeinu starts, no, what, who, me? I can't. First thing, V'yomer Moshe Elokim, Pasuk Yudal, Mi Anochi Ki Elech El Paro, who am I to go? V'yomer, and God says, no, don't worry about it, I'm going to be with you. Ki Eyeh Yimach Pasuk Yudbeis. V'yomer Moshe says, wait a minute, but what am I going to tell him? Like, how am I going to introduce myself? How am I going to describe you? It's not going to work. V'yomer Elokim, Pasuk Yudal, no, here's what you should say to them. V'yomer Ur Elokim, and here's what else you should say to them. All the way to the end of Perek Gimel, top left of page 4, V'shamaluk alecha, Moses, I am God, and I am telling you, they're going to listen to you. They're going to, don't worry about it, it's going to be okay. I'm sending you, I'm the big I, the big G, I'm sending you, V'shamaluk alecha, it's going to be okay. Perek Dala Pasik Aleph, Vayad Moshe Vayomer, forgive me, God. I mean, it's very sweet that you said that they're going to listen to me, but they're not going to listen to me. I'm sorry. I know better than you. You think v'shamu lekolecha, and I'm telling you v'lo yishmu li. Back and forth, and Hashem says, "Here's what you should do." Mazeh biyotcha, and the mate, and the leprosy, and the on, and the on, and the on, and if they don't listen to this, they'll listen to this. Long discussion, Moses, relax. It's going to be fine. Persecuted. He got nowhere, God got nowhere with Moses. V'yomer Moshe el Hashem, bi Hashem, lo ish devarim anochi. I can't do this. I can't. I don't know how to talk. I'm not articulate. I'm not sophisticated. I'm not well spoken. Vayomer Hashem, no, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Bi Hashem, Shlach Na Biyat Tishlach. Shlach Na, please send at the hand that you're going to send. No sooner does Moshe say Shlach Na Biyat Tishlach, Vayicharaf Hashem B'Moshe, Moses, this conversation is over. Get going to Egypt. Chazal say, for a whole week. Chazal tell us that this piffle between God and Moshe lasted for 7 days. I have three questions. First question is, where is Moshe Rabbeinu's Ben Adam Lamako? I mean, you'll forgive me, if God come today, if somebody says God came to me, there's a hospital somewhere in Manhattan where we're going to send them justifiably. But Mamish, let's imagine that if God Mamish b'chvoidoyu v'atzmai comes to you and you know it's God and you're normal, and Hashem says, go, you go. Mishtel tzachavek, medintzach. No, who? I can't. I don't know. You think they're going to listen? I'm telling you, they're not going to listen. What kind of talk is this? Where's your derecharetz to the Ribbono Shel Olam? How dare you talk like this? God said, go, jump, how high? Finish. Second question. Where's Moshe's Bein Adam L'Chaverim? Moshe knows what's going on in Egypt. Vayar b'siv losam, vayifen kovacho, vayar ki enish, vayachis a mitzri. He sees a mitzri, ish mitzri, make ish ivri me'achav. He kills it, he stands up for his co-religionist. Was Moshe callous or indifferent to the fate of his co-religionists? He had to leave Egypt because he stuck up for them. All these years, could you imagine? 50 plus years, 60 years, I don't know exactly how long. Every day, what's he thinking about? Oh my God, what's going on there? What's going on? Every day, by me is get, and I'm comfortable, and I'm happy, and I'm relaxed, and I'm smelling the roses, and they're getting killed. And they're getting babies in the pyramids every day. What's going on? And now God finally comes to him. He should have said, God, I've been waiting for you. Where you been for 55 years? Quick! And Eshtal Tzachavek, and who, no matter, I don't know, and maybe. Every minute, more Jews are being killed. A week, you know how many Jews were killed? You know how many firstborn were slaughtered? You know how many babies were stuffed into pyramids? In 1 week, get over there, quick! Where's your Ben Adam L'Chaverim? The third question is, what does Shlach No Biyat Tishlach mean? Shlach No Biyat Tishlach. So many years ago, I have 3 minutes, I'm going to try to wrap it up. Rabbi, I heard Rabbi the Rav 1 year on Tisha B'Av. He said something for about 60 seconds that really struck me, and I want to develop a little bit. Who is Shlach No Biyat Tishlach? Rashi says it's Aaron. The Pirkei de Rav Eliezer says it's Elio HaNavi. Ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, what's Elio HaNavi doing in this conversation? So the Rav said as follows. He said, this is what's happening. God comes to Moses and says, take the Jews out of Egypt. Moshe says to God, listen, God, I know what's going to happen. If I take the Jews out of Egypt, then they'll go out of Egypt and they'll wander in the desert for 40 years, and then they'll end up in the land of Israel. A couple of hundred years later, there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. It'll last for a couple of hundred years, and then there'll be a Churban, and then they'll go into Golus. It'll be a little Golus, a short Golus, a 70-year Golus. They'll come back. There'll be another Beis HaMikdash, another couple of hundred years, and then they're going to go into a Golus. That's going to be a massive Golus, God. You know. Because in the 2nd century, there'll be the Asara Rugei Malchus, and at the end of the 11th century, there'll be the First Crusades. And in the 12th century, there'll be the Second Crusade, and the Third Crusade, and the Fourth Crusade. And in the 13th century, they're going to burn the Talmud. And in the 14th century, they're going to have the Black Death Massacres. And at the end of the 15th century, they're going to be expelled from Spain. And in the 17th century, they're going to be the Khmelnytsky Massacres. And at the beginning of the 20th century, there's going to be a Kishinev pogrom. And in the middle of the 20th century, oh my God! God, there's going to be a Shoah. 6 million Jews are going to be killed. And then at the end of the 20th century, buses are going to be blowing up in the city of Yerushalayim, and people are going to be slaughtered. And at the beginning of the 21st century, the list that I gave you at the beginning is going to happen. And now people can't walk in the street because they're afraid they're going to be knifed. God, do me a favor. Don't send me. Send Elio HaNavi. What role does Elio HaNavi have in our tradition? Elio HaNavi is the harbinger of redemption. The Mevaser HaGeulah, send Elio HaNavi, we're done, it's over. It's over. Elio HaNavi comes, takes them out of Egypt, brings them to Israel, they live in safety. Lo'adu l'netzach netzach. Moshe Rabbeinu is not arguing for a week with God, he's arguing for all eternity. And it's dafka his Ben Adam L'Chaveru that gives him the, I don't want to use this word, so the chutzpah, gives him the gumption to toe-to-toe with God for a week. I can't let this happen because I care so much about my people. And what does Hashem answer him? In the Lashon of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which you have at the bottom, now I'm done, bottom of page 5, Hashem says to him, Amar lo, fourth line, lo amarti lecha, L'cha ve'eshlochacha el Yisrael, Ela l'cha ve'eshlochacha el Paro. You, now it's your turn. Ula oso ha'ish she'ata omer. What about Elio HaNavi? Ani sholeach la'asid lavo al Yisrael. Shenemar, famous Haftorah, hine anochi sholeach lachem. I'm going to send Elio HaNavi, but I'm not sending him now. Because Moshe, you need to understand something. That's not how the process of Jewish history unfolds. Jewish history doesn't unfold. It's now we're in Egypt. 5 minutes later, we're in Israel. perfect, idyllic, bucolic, perfect, we're done. That's not how it works. It's up and it's down and it's complicated and it's circuitous and it's sideways and sometimes you run into a brick wall and sometimes it's better. Built into the unfolding of the Jewish historical narrative is the complexity of our existence. What we're seeing now is not unusual. It's part of the way things happen to us. It's not, we're not flummoxed because we don't know from this. We know from this. Because the very way we exist, from the beginning, Hashem says to Moshe, you want to go from zero to 105 seconds, you can't go from zero to 105 seconds. It's up and it's down and it's sideways and it's back and it's forth. And that's what we're seeing now. And if we understand that, then we understand that just like now we're seeing a low time and it's horrific, so in Mitzvah Hashem there'll be better times. It's not like the low times surprise us regretfully. So these are my four points. My first two issues were I feel helpless and I'm angry because I don't understand. I'm with the Ramban and the Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, like what's going on with this book business. But then number one, I draw strength because we're all here tonight and we care about this and we're part of one people. Number two, I feel like I could try to do something to be mishtatef im hatzibur kol Yisrael areivim zeh bazeh. Number three, the whole existence of the Jewish people is predicated on the absence of a logic. And number four, the complexity that we see is part of the process. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And we're now living through a difficult time. Mitz Hashem, soon, like the Gemara says in Tainis, if we're Mitzayer in HaTzibur, we should be Zocha to see very quickly the Nechama of the Tzibur. Have a good Erev Shabbos.
We'll have Meyer in that 30 seconds. There'll be Tehillim after Meyer. And next week, Rabbi Adler will be speaking at 8:30.